St. Louis, November 26, 1964, AM reading.
Oh, What did you read as far as 12? Did you speak loud? 51.
Peter and the apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God and the apostles, to the sanctification of the Spirit, and the obedience and strengthening of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father, thou Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein he greatly rejoiced, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trials of faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, will be tried with fire, and be found the praise and honor and glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom have not seen the above, and whom will now you see and love, if believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of whose salvation the prophets have inquired and search diligently, who prophesied the grace that should come to you, searching for what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in him, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you that the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things that angels desire to look into. Wherefore, the very best of life is your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you of the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the form of lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons, just according to every man's work, pass the time to a sojourner here and here. For it must be known that you will not redeem the corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation. Receive that tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him who believed in God of faith in our fellow men, and gave them form that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit of the unashamed love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the foul grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. In the 10th of John, we find the Lord as the Good Shepherd, and we read that he entered in by the door, and so entering, he qualified as the shepherd of the sheep, so to speak, and then the porter opened up, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now many did not follow him, but there were those who responded to his voice and followed him. Now in the close of that gospel, chapter 21, which seems to be an added chapter, the other gospels don't have anything like this. He restores his servant, Peter, who had failed. And he committed to him the responsibility of feeding his sheep. Verse 15, in the end of the verse, he gives him the responsibility of feeding his lambs. Verse 16, in the end of the verse, feed my sheep. And that is still repeated in verse 17 as he probes deeper into this servant's heart and restores it publicly among his brethren. And the second time he says, feed my sheep. Perhaps that might indicate that sheep are more difficult to feed than lambs. But in this epistle, we have that apostle
writing to those of the circumcision who believed, who were elect according to the foreknowledge of God, and who had believed and had become Christians. He writes to them, and he seeks to encourage them and to bring to their attention that much better portion of a heavenly character that was more suitable for them and went very far beyond any blessing that they could have realized as a nation coming into earthly favor under the kingship of their Messiah. So we would judge that here we have one way in which he fed the sheep. In this first epistle, and also in his second. Of course, he did that orally too, as he went to various places and later saw the Lord and brought the ministry the Lord had given him to the attention of that particular people. But we as Gentiles have never failed to enjoy this chapter, have we? Because in principle it's true of us. Peter was definitely the apostle to the circumcision, as Paul was to the uncircumcision. In Galatians 2, he did a statement to that effect. Verse 7, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, that the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he then walked effectually in Peter the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was might in me toward the Gentiles. But it was Peter, you know, that went to the house of Cornelius and opened the door of blessing to the Gentiles. Right away after the blessing on the centurion, Cornelius, the gospel seems to spread rapidly to the Gentiles. You can gather that from the 10th and 11th chapters of Acts.
Of the fifth chapter of 1 Peter, he was speaking. Peter seems much impressed with the commission given to him, didn't he? The fifth chapter of 1 Peter, verse speaking to the elders, elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He didn't say he was a partaker of the sufferings, did he? Then the second verse, feed the flock of God which is among you. Well, the Gentiles are part of that flock of God, aren't they? And then the second epistle, the first chapter, the 12th verse, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance.
First verse, you could speak as freely as the Apostle Paul did. And address these strangers scattered in these portions of Asia Minor as an apostle of Jesus Christ. See that he was useful, quite so, after his failure. In Luke 22, he told him so. And verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, it seems to be rather emphatic. It's his name, according to birth into this world, his natural energy. The old Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted or restored, strengthen thy brethren. And that we see being fulfilled in this very man that denied that he knew the Lord. I pray for thee, that's priesthood. Not that he wouldn't fail, because he needed the lesson that he would learn in that failure, but he prayed that his faith wouldn't fail. And he says further, when thou art converted or restored, and that would bring in the advocacy of Christ, and being restored, he would be of use to the brethren. And thou restored, strengthen thy brethren. That's what he does in these epistles, in this chapter, as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He didn't lose his apostleship. The Lord never changes his mind about his purposes concerning us. They were dispersed. Scattered in these different places. Paul had lived in these places, hadn't he? You read in Acts 16 that he wished to go over into Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered him not. That's a suitable time. But also we find those among the circumcision who were reading the Lord in these places. Under pressure, no doubt, they were dispersed. They come under the rough hand of others, hand of the oppressors. And they were strangers in these places. That becomes so when we believe the gospel. For their blessing has come through the gospel, through the word of the Lord, which can do it forever. And this is the word which for the gospel is preached unto you. It's the last verse of the chapter. Now these were elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. As a people, they were an elect nation on the earth. So this is quite a bit deeper. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. They come into the blessings of Christianity. The new wine and the new bottle. that enough? God was known as Jehovah. So here Peter writes to them. In the sweet language of relationship to God as Father. So they received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. The Lord could use that in the Garden of Gethsemane in his own right before redemption was accomplished in Mark's Gospel. He gives utterance to that expression, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Paul writes to the Romans. They enjoyed that. And the Father. He wrote the same to the Galatians. And it applies to all. The question here is on the side of God's sovereignty. You might contrast this with what we have in the second epistle. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall nor stumble. Here we have mention of election on the side of the our responsibility. We see a contrast here in these verses. They were exhorted to supply in their faith. Verse 5. Virtue and knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. brotherly kindness, charity, and so on. Not that did that. These things to be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then we get the contrast. He that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afore off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Many times we are called upon to speak at funeral services, and some seem to be easier than others. Take the case of an old Christian, dear old godly soul that has been faithful through all the years. He has stumbled in the nowhere, come short in some way, but he's gone on with the Lord. And he's supplied in his faith these the various things indicated here. When he comes to the close of the journey, he has an abundant entrance. Well, there's no doubt, you know. easy to handle the service when such is the case. On the other hand, take that of someone with us who made a nice confession of the Lord. He began well, but he didn't go on. So you wonder. Well, the old brother is mainly calling an election chant. He knew it and everyone else knew it. The other thing to do that. And going on with the Lord, confidence will increase, and our joys will abound, and our lives will have certainty too. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. These were elected according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Joseph of Arimathea was sanctified by the Spirit. Nicodemus was sanctified by the Spirit. Those who believed in Jesus, that he was the Son of God, were sanctified by the Spirit. Of course, the ground of it is the blood, and that is supplied right along in the verse. And those that utter that cry of adoption, now they couldn't do it before the cross work of Christ. Not on record that they did. That came afterwards. And the work of redemption had been accomplished at the cross. And all the Spirit that had come in consequence of that perfect work and the ascension and glorification of Christ, he's up there. All the Spirit came down. What was after that? If we get into the sweetness of that cry of adoption. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. That's why we believe. The Spirit of God has brought us to a response to the gospel, to the Word of God. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, peace be multiplied. Don't get anything like that in the Law of Moses, or in the Psalms, or in the prophets. this is thought about the sprinkling of the blood.
That's the same as we have in Hebrews, which is a consummation. That's me. Chapter of Hebrews and the 22nd verse. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That's evil blood, is it not? The body is washed with pure water. That's the word, isn't it? The application to our hearts by faith, the blood of Christ.
Yes, I thought of it in that way and used it so in the gospel, preaching the gospel. And even connected it with the sprinkling of the blood on the side post, on the mountain, the application of the blood. The blood in the basin didn't protect him from the destroying him too early.
We have given them the setting apart here unto obedience, first thing that's mentioned. Obedience is a precious thing in the sight of God, isn't it?
Yes. You didn't find it on the part of those Pharisees, did you?
See it in all its perfection in the person of Christ, don't you? I do always those things that please Him. There it shines in all perfection.
Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
All that through grace, and it is the work of God that has wrought in our hearts. We have, by faith, as it were, sprinkled the blood. Help us now to walk in the path of obedience in the power of the Holy Spirit. The verse 14th of John in connection with that. John 14. Second verse, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. That's obedience, it's a proof of love. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. yet seen a disobedient child happy.
But we were one time, I was thinking of Ephesians 2, we were one time children of disobedience.
But now the others should characterize.
Ephesians 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is, you are subject to him, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That was the characterizing. But now that the Spirit of God has come in on the prophet, exercise his soul and give us to see the work of Christ. Put our faith and trust in him, we should now, what should characterize the children of obedience.
Obedience and dependence. Sometimes we're put to a test, perhaps, and we feel that we should obey, and then the thought comes, well, now if I do, what's going to be the consequence of this? Well, I'm sure that's all that proven. A greater or less degree, if we act in obedience to the word of God, love to the Lord, he will take care of the consequences. And then to honor me, I will honor, is still true, isn't it?
Child is never happy, so the obedient child should not be unhappy. The obedient child is one who is happy, walking in the fear of the Lord, please him. So the inward state of that individual is happiness.
Clear conscience is worth a great deal, is it not? And our practice will walk before the Lord. Blessed in the third verse of the Jevonim. Tell me something of the meaning of that.
Blessed, the bird that means happy. Perhaps you have a bird of thought about it.
Yes, it does mean happy. We find it so frequently all in the Psalms, I think especially. Does it have, too, the sense of praise be unto God, blessed be? Find in the writings of servants of God, and Mr. Darby and others, so often they use the expression, blessed be God. And the impression in my mind is that it has a sense of praise, striking praise and worship. Mercy is abundant, isn't it? Notice tomorrow, my Bible reads, much is much mercy, abundant mercy. and the hope that was given to the dear saints, and our hearts likewise by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The hope is a very precious thing, isn't it? When hope is gone, and despair sets in. Why we bear is living, isn't it? A living hope.
Yes.
We see that from the two on the way to Emmaus, don't we? As they walked along and they were sad. We had hope that had been he which would restore Israel. Their hopes were gone. But it's precious to see there that they were expressing their unbelief to one who had restored everything and could restore all to their soul.
Did not know it at the moment, but they were coming to the one who knew them and knew them on the way that way, met them and does restore their souls. So quite often with a saint of God, he might get into that kind of a condition, but there's a man in the glory who understands and knows, and he's always searching that individual, isn't it?
Yes. Brought before the scripture our brother read, our great high priest and our advocate with the Father. If Christ be not risen, ye are yet in your sin, says the Apostle Paul.
With the old order of things, everything was death and death. All the different creatures were put into death and that. But everything pertaining to the Christian now, as a result of the work of Christ on Calvary's cross, everything is alive, it's living. So it's a living hope. It's a new life, it's a living thing. There's nothing pertaining to death there. That pertains to the old, not the new. Good to remember.
Peter speaks of living stones too, doesn't he?
Yes.
Understand the necessity of the Lord's death. Luke 18 shows that.
Luke
Luke 18, verse 31, then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. The two on the road to Emmaus didn't understand. They've been referred to. In the Transfiguration, Moses and Elias were intelligent as to the necessity of the death of Christ. They were talking about his decease, which he should accomplish on Jerusalem. The disciples were still in the expectation of earthly blessings. The salvation that they expected was that they would be saved from their enemies and brought into prominence on the earth as a specially favored people. But this hope that is stated here goes far beyond that. Connected with the work of redemption, and of course the truth of the resurrection, which is the cardinal truth of the gospel, we might say. So it must be sort of a hardly for Peter to say, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's a special truth. Resurrection from the dead. The disciples didn't understand that. Quite concerned about this statement that they weren't to tell anyone until the Son of Man was risen from the dead. Resurrection, as a general thing, as a distant thing, was orthodox, and they believe that. Look forward to it, but still, earthly blessing was prominent in their thoughts. We like earthly blessing ourselves. Later in the chapter, we come down to the end of faith, the salvation of your soul. Well, that's where the real blessing lies, isn't it? It's in the soul. That connects with the risen Christ. Sometimes we're disturbed, we're distressed, we're disappointed by things that happen. know those things, favorable or unfavorable, never affect what we have in Christ.
Speaking of Peter on the day of Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts, addressing them there, he says, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and with wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be whole enough. They knew it on the day of Pentecost, didn't they? The Spirit of God made these things clear and good for their souls.
Yes. He had many things to say to them, but he couldn't tell them then. Afterward, they understood. I think it's well to remember, Brother Jevon, as you were saying, that our portion in Christ is sure. None of the circumstances here can affect us.
The things which you're seeing are temporal. They pass away. The things that are not seen are eternal. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the name of Jesus Christ.
That's true even now, isn't it?
Yes.
And I thought of the preciousness and the certainty of what is brought before us in the next verse, the fourth verse. So an inheritance, what we're going to have, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Well, it's all not of ourselves, isn't it? But it's Father and it's children. Any earthly inheritance has been corrupted and defiled and faded away, but our inheritance will never be subject to this.
Many a person has received the inheritance here, and through their own waywardness has lost the entire inheritance. God isn't going to allow that to happen to us. God has reserved the inheritance, and he is reserving us individually before him for the inheritance. He's going to have us there in all of us.
Not only is the inheritance reserved, but in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. We're being preserved for it, are we not? I believe the expression through faith is instructed for us to see we're not kept by God in the hand of his power apart from ourselves, but it's through faith. God works by his Spirit and gives through faith his mind, his thoughts, and that by the Spirit our hearts are connected with God in that way, and we have it by his power, but it's through faith.
say then that faith, by faith we have accepted Christ as our Savior, the gift of God, Ephesians 2. But now in the pathway, it's in the exercise of faith before Him that these things are blessed to our souls.
Yes. Think of that scripture in Hebrews, 12th chapter, is it? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. There isn't the least spiritual blessing that we have apart from faith. Only that way can it be accepted and enjoyed.
Solemn for any here this morning who don't know the Lord as their Savior, isn't it? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. They couldn't, by any endeavor of their own, possibly please God. If you're going to please God, you must come by the cross of Christ and accept Him as your Savior. That's the only way in which God is pleased, and He's pleased in the work of His Son.
Yes. And for our own hearts, how is it that we enjoy any measure of the preciousness of these truths that we're reading? It's because we believe it, isn't it? It's by faith. We believe what God has said.
Faith is the substance of things to hope for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith brings the future before us, things hoped for. And it's by faith that we have that evidence of things not seen. We find those that know the Lord under trial and pressure, weakness of the body, but rejoicing. Rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory, which comes from that a little later on, that make good in their souls by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's not. And hope for a future. So we've got the evidence already.
The power of the Spirit makes of God makes it good to the soul, doesn't it? I remember a number of years ago I was visiting in a very, very large sanitarium in New York City. And there was real depression amongst a number of the guests in the institution, and one of the brothers said to me, he says, wait a while. So we finally got along to a young lady there, and here she was in the very last stages of the disease, and she was just looking up and rejoicing. Her heart was full. She says, you know, that blessed man has died for me, living for me, and one day very soon, I don't know whether it'll be today or tomorrow or the next day, but whatever day it pleases Him, I'm going to be with Him, and I'm going to feel like Him, I'm going to enjoy His company. Oh, she was enjoying it right then.
Yes, and you were saying the power of the Holy Spirit is so important that the Spirit be not grieved in our hearts, isn't it? Because if He is, even though we're children of God, and what we read here is true of us, we won't have the enjoyment of that which God has given us.
We're not in communion, it's lost to our souls.
Yes. That's why it's so important if we experience that which is hindering communion, that we're going on with, or inclined to go on with, anything that will grieve the Holy Spirit, give it up regardless of the cost, Lord, will be our portion.
Time's gone, isn't it? faith, by faith we have accepted Christ as our Savior, the gift of God, Ephesians 2. But now in the pathway, it's in the exercise of faith before Him that these things are blessed to our souls.
Yes. Think of that scripture in Hebrews 12th chapter, is it? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. There isn't the least spiritual blessing that we have apart from faith. Only that way can it be accepted and enjoyed.
Solemn for any here this morning who don't know the Lord as their Savior, is it? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. They couldn't, by any endeavor of their own, possibly please God. If you're going to please God, you must come by the cross of Christ and accept Him as your Savior. That's the only way in which God is pleased, and He's pleased in the work of His Son.
Yes. And for our own hearts, how is it that we enjoy any measure of the preciousness of these truths that we're reading? It's because we believe, isn't it? It's by faith. We believe what God has said.
Faith is the substance of things to hope for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith brings the future before us. Things hoped for. And it's by faith that we have that evidence. We find those that know the Lord under trial and pressure, weakness of body, but rejoicing. Rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory, we come to that a little later on. That's made good in their souls by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's now. Things hoped for a future. So we've got the evidence already.
The power of the Spirit makes of God makes it good to the soul, doesn't it? I remember a number of years ago I was visiting in a very, very large sanitarium in New York City. And there was real depression amongst a number of the guests in the institution. And one of the brothers said to me, he said, wait a while. So we finally got along to a young lady there, and here she was in the very last stages of the disease, and she was just looking up and rejoicing. Her heart was full. She said, you know, that blessed man has died for me, living for me, and one day very soon, I don't know whether it'll be today or tomorrow or the next day, but whatever day it pleases Him, I'm going to be with Him, and I'm going to feel like Him, I'm going to enjoy His coming. Well, she was enjoying it right then.
Yes. And you're saying the power of the Holy Spirit is so important that the Spirit be not grieved in our hearts, isn't it? Because if He is, even though we're children of God, and what we read here is true of us, we won't have the enjoyment of that which God has given.
We're not in communion, it's lost to our souls.
And that's why it's so important if we experience that which is entering communion, that we're going on with or inclined to go on with anything that will grieve the Holy Spirit, give it up regardless of the cost. The Lord will be our portion.